Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello, once again, everyone. I'm your host, Ray Shasho. Welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Born 1962, Frank Van Bogart started his music career at the age of 18 with the founding of Belgian new wave band 1000 Ohm. In 1981, 1000 Ohm scored a big international hit with AGNES, today still a much-aired new wave evergreen. By the end of the 80s and the beginning of the 90s, Frank had also become a much-in-demand composer of radio, commercial tunes, and TV series music. This is also the time when he bought Antwerp-based Ace Studio. His management and producer skills quickly catapulted the Ace Studio from a moderate studio to one of the most reputable and busiest studios in the country. Even today, in these troubled economic times, Ace still stands strong as one of the few top-of-the-range studios in the country still has left. From mid-90s on, Frank also began to release electronic cinematic music under his own name. The last decade, Frank has been specializing in producing rock music with a preference to progressive rock, a music style he grew up with and has a great affection for. For those with nostalgia feelings about that warm 1000 Ohm vocal sound, it's back. Just listen to Fish on Friday's albums. Black Rain is Fish on Friday's fifth and arguably strongest album up to date. I agree. As usual, the production is flawless and the songs and arrangements are well thought out. The band featuring Nick Beggs, Frank Van Bogart, Marty Towson, and Marcus Waymire sounds tighter and punchier than ever before. As a response to the positive reactions to Lula Beggs' vocal contributions to Fish on Friday's previous album, Quiet Life, Lula was given a bigger guest role, now appearing on 4 of the 11 tracks on the album. Black Rain comes close to being a concept album about the fast-changing world we live in, our changing environment, your refugees fleeing from war and global political madness. Although the album certainly has its dark sides, there is also room for sun and happiness. As always, with Fish on Friday's artwork, the album is packaged in a beautiful 6-panel digipack with a 16-page booklet, which truly complements the music to make every aspect of Black Rain a true work of art and an album for our times. Please welcome Frank Van Bogart, lead vocalist, multi-instrumentalist, composer, general manager of the progressive rock pop group Fish on Friday. Hello, Frank.
Hi there. Good evening. I suppose it's good evening for you because we have a 6-hour difference.
I mean,
6 hours later, so I don't know what time it is now over there.
Well, it's 12
anyway,
noon here.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good night. I don't know.
You covered it all. It's 12 noon here, 6 p.m. over there, I believe, right?
Yeah, that's true.
How's the weather over there in Belgium?
It's beautiful. It's very hot today. It's exceptionally hot. I think we're talking about 25 to 26 degrees Celsius. I guess you're in Florida, I guess. Florida, that won't be that hot, but here in Belgium, it's pretty hot. Yeah, we're not used to it.
Now, is everything opening up in Belgium like it is here now from the virus?
Yeah, shops are reopening.
Good.
People are allowed to get together a bit more, not with too many people. But that. We've got the social distancing and the masks have become the new real, you know.
Yeah.
So we're living in a different world now, but things are loosening up.
That's good. Yeah, people need to get out.
Yeah, certainly. But I don't know about the States, because you were a bit later with a lockdown, because we've been in lockdown for 10 weeks, and after 10 weeks, you really had enough.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I mean, it turned the whole music industry upside down, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. We were forced to close my studio, so we were out of a job for 2.5 months, you know.
Yeah.
We got some support from the government financially, but that wasn't even enough to pay for the monthly costs and everything, you know. Okay, but everything is, you know, we're all sitting in the same boat.
Yeah, exactly. The whole world is, actually.
Yeah. We'll get through.
I want to talk about Black Rain. I gave it 5 stars. I love the album. A lot of people are saying it's the best one so far, and I agree. What's really cool, you know, it's very surreal, mesmerizing album. It's prog, but it's got, like, you know, it's got a lot of pop in it as well. I hear a lot of Alan Parsons type of sound in it as well. I know he wasn't the producer for this one, right? He was the last album?
No, we worked with him for the previous album.
The previous album.
We worked with him at Abbey Road, but not for this album, no.
It's a great album. I first learned about this album from Morrow.com, the progressive station. I listened to that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah,
and the song I heard that really got me going was Murderous Highland Highway. That's the first song I heard, and then I heard Black Rain, and they were both on the station. Great song, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Talk a little bit about the album and what were you planning on? Is it a concept album? Would you say it's a concept album?
Well, it's not really a concept album, but the songs are linked, you know. There's one common subject, and that's our changing world, you know.
Right.
And the difficulty, for example, older people have in following the fast evolving technology. You know, like the song Black Rain itself, I was inspired by that while standing at a pin machine, you know, to get money out of the wall.
Uh-huh.
And for me, was really an older guy, and he didn't manage to get money out of the wall. It was all too complicated for him, and he just gave me his credit card and number and asked me to get a few hundred euros out of the wall. He had to trust me because he couldn't work with it.
Yeah.
And that's what inspired me, you know, older people, all those things, iPhone and everything, it's all getting too complicated. Not paying with real money anymore, and well, that's one of the subjects. You've also got a subject of the refugee thing and the changing climate and everything. So the songs are linked, but each song has a separate story.
Yeah, Black Rain is cool. I love the repetitive lyric of Black Rain. You know, it's really cool. It's a song that should be it could be a hit in another time, or maybe somewhere else. I don't know, but it's a great tune. It really is.
Yeah, well, we wouldn't be shy of having a hit, you know. It's not a dirty word, you say. If it's good music and it becomes a hit, why not? Yeah, we won't say no to it.
On Mad at the World, who's playing the piano on that? Is that you or?
Yeah, I'm playing all keyboards and piano, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful playing, man. You guys are very, very talented musicians, you know.
And well, we've got our history. We're all professionals, you know. Nick has been in Gadget Google, now plays with Stephen Wilson. Marty was in a very famous Belgian blues band and everything. So we've all got our history. We're pro. So, not to blow our own trumpet, but we know what we do. Wow.
And it's a nice addition to have Lula. She's great.
Yeah, she's got such a special, nice voice. I heard it for the first time when she did a guest appearance on Nick's first solo album with the New Gods.
Right.
And I really was blown away by the quality of her voice. It's a unique voice, and then she sang with me together, and both of our voices, well, that's a sound that I really love.
Yeah, you guys mesh well together. You really do.
Yeah.
And you got a great voice as well, by the way.
Thank you very much.
A couple other songs that I really liked. Of course, Letting Go of You really features Lula a lot on vocals. We've Come Undone, a spacey track I really liked. Morphine, I loved Morphine, but it was kind of short. Kind of a short tune. Yeah. I was hoping for more.
Yeah, but Morphine, you can see Morphine there. It's in place, not in the middle, but more to the end. It's a bit of a rest point in the album, you know. So it's a short flowing track about the influences of Morphine, you know.
Yeah.
I was inspired by an accident I had, so I was on Morphine for 2 weeks while having a serious accident. So I know the feeling when you're lying in the hospital and the Morphine flows through your veins, you know. That's the song about you're really relaxed and calm, your high. Well, okay. But it's not a drug song, you know, it's just a floating thing.
Yeah, I broke my shoulder and had surgery and had morphine. So yeah, I know the feeling.
Okay.
It's kind of I heard bits and pieces of kind of like Pink Floyd and Camel in that song. I picked up a little bit of that in morphine.
Oh, maybe. You know, we've got our influences, and sometimes we don't even realize
exactly
the influence we are using. You know,
exactly. Talk about Angel of Mercy.
Angel of Mercy is a very special song. It's about my father. He was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and so after a year, he decided to be euthanized. And we all were waiting the day that he was going to be euthanized for the doctor, and the doctor was very late. But you know, the Angel of Mercy, that's the doctor. It was a very traumatizing day for me, you know, holding your father's hand in the very last minutes. And, well, the Angel of Mercy was the doctor, and he was a bit late on appointment. So that's what it's all about. A traumatizing experience, you know. But there's some beauty in it also. So
sure.
I hope you can recognize the beauty in the song.
And then how about Trapped in Heaven?
Trapped in Heaven is a bit about the countries that are living in a dictatorship without people realizing it themselves that they're living in a dictatorship. Everything's being done for you, everything's being taken care for you, you don't have to think about anything. It's like heaven, you know, but you can't get out.
That's very interesting, very profound. I like that.
I don't like to write lyrics who are too clear at first listening. You have to think what might this be about, and to me that are the real interesting lyrics.
Well, you're a great writer, so that's for sure, and also an engineer, and you're the general manager of the band. How did you pick up How did you pick up engineering? I talked to Todd Rundgren about that, and he said he just got in the studio once and started playing with buttons.
Well, that goes back to my days with New Wave Band, Thousand Films, back in 1980.
Right.
We had a big hit, and so we were contracted by BMG Sony, and then we had a lot of studio time, and after a while, you know, I started to learn with my eyes, stealing from the engineer we worked with, and after a while, I ran to the studio without an engineer, and after a while, other clients came into the studio and saw me engineering and asked me to engineer and produce for them, so that got the ball running.
Yeah, that was a good band, 1000 Ohm. That was quite a different genre, really. I mean, you know, you had the new wave.
It was the sign of the time, you know, beginning of the 80s, we were completely in new wave.
Right.
We even played with Depeche Mode together and everything. So that was fun time, you know. But now it's over, but I still have some fond memories of those 80 years. And I still love listening to new wave, good new wave, yeah.
I do too. I was a top 40 DJ back in the late 70s and early 80s, so I played a lot of new wave. It was kind of a good time. I remember playing. Well, I like the Buggles. You know, I've interviewed Jeff Down.
One of my favorite.
Yeah. I've interviewed Jeff a few times, and another guy I was really fond of was Ian Dury and the Blockheads. I really like the Ian Dury.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah, hit me with your rhythm stick.
Hit me with your rhythm stick, yeah. And Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll. And you were there, let's see, probably, I don't know, 1980 through 87 or something, and a lot of people say that 1,000 Ohm kind of reached cult status, kind of a cult.
It's true, because I've still got some requests for why aren't you getting to back together, guys, and do a tour or something. But I was the only one of the band that stayed in the music business. I contacted the other guys and asked them, would you be interested in getting together, because there's a man for it. But nobody was interested, so and doing it on my own and getting some other guys on stage, it wouldn't be 1,000 Tones anymore. So no, we won't get together again. let's keep it being cult. But
that there used to be a show, I don't know if you had it in Belgium or not, that their mission was to try to get bands back together again. Do you remember that? And a lot of bands.
No, I don't know. Show.
A lot of members said, you know, no, and then that was the end of the show. But you know, a lot of people did say, yeah. It was interesting.
Well, the thing is also, if you're out of it, let's say for 30 years,
right,
and you have to play live, well, you can't play anymore. You know, if you haven't done it for 30 years, you can say it's like swimming, but it isn't. You have to pick it up again and everything. So, and if they ask you, can you do a live tour within a couple of days? Then the answer is no.
Yeah, sometimes you just get nervous because it's been such a long time and you don't want to, you know.
You have to restudy everything. And then, so if it's such a well, but people also, I'm now talking about the guys I work with in 1,000 Tones, they all have their life, they've got their own companies, or they've got their own work, they've got their family, so that's also the reason why they thank for it now.
Well, what's cool about you is you get, and a lot of musicians I talk to are doing the same thing. They work with advertising, commercials, and TV and movies and things like that, and you do the same thing. I mean, that's very lucrative, I think.
Yeah, well, it's hard work also, but
yeah.
When Tom split up, I had to do something, and through 1,000 Tones, I had a lot of relations in the business, so I started writing some commercials, and then the ball gets running, you know, you've written that, can you work for us and everything, so that's how it goes.
Are the only commercials in your area, or do you do some stuff here in the United States as well?
No, it's really pretty original. In Belgium, I've got some pretty known stuff for big companies, but they're really, really Belgian companies.
Right. Well, you got a great studio to do it in.
yeah, but that's also that's a bit my life work. You know, I've been doing that studio for almost 35 years now.
Really?
So it's a thing that has grown. You know, yeah. If you look at the pictures now on the website, you say, "Wow, what a big studio!" But it was a lot of work, and it took years to get it together.
Yeah, I can imagine. So some of the other guys I talked to that are doing commercials are, you know, I had Jan Hammer on not too long ago. You know, he does all kinds of stuff. Dave Bickler, who did the Rocky, one of the movies, Eye of the Tiger. He did that, but he does a lot of lot of advertisements here. And Jimmy Hahn, you know, he played with Yes, and he did with Circa, and he prog rock, and he does a lot of commercials as well, which is pretty cool. You know, I think that's great.
Yeah, I like doing it also. So it's also, you've got to be very disciplined, because you're always working with a very very tight deadline,
right?
And you've got to be able to do make revisions of your music without being too grumpy.
That's the hard part. You know, I'm a writer, and I've got books out, you know, and when they edit some stuff out and they say, you can't put this in there, I get a little grumpy.
you know the feeling, man.
I know the feeling.
You always got to say in yourself, I'm professional. Whatever we do, we are professional.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, where did you get the name Fish on Friday? I know you're using the FOF logo more nowadays.
Yeah.
Kind of like ELO.
Well, I started the band with another keyboard player, William Bix, but he left the band a couple of years ago.
Right.
It was his idea to have the name Fish on Friday. And I immediately liked it, and also the way you could abbreviate it, like FOF. I like FOF as a name.
Me
I like
too.
It better than Fish on Friday, so that's why we put FOF on the cover of this new album now.
Yeah, I like it. Like, you know,
but the band's name is still Fish on Friday, you know. But you can compare it with bands like YMO, the Yellow Magic Orchestra, or OMD, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. We always talk about YMO if we mean Yellow Magic Orchestra. So I prefer to use FOF.
Did you produce the album, the new album?
Yeah.
You did? Okay. It's a great sound. I mean, you know, it's the engineering is perfect. The sound is great. You know.
Well, thanks a lot. I think I've been working for this for 5 years.
5 years.
Get it done right.
Yeah. Well, you did it right.
Yeah.
What was it like working with Alan Parsons?
Oh, that was a very, very good experience. Great. You know, I've always admired Alan. I've been following Alan since I was 14 years when I bought the FKI and the Blue album there. So when I heard that for the first time, I thought, my God, I've never heard a production. So that meant even when I was 14, I was really listening in detail to productions. And I've been following him since then. He's always been one of my idols. And then suddenly you get an email from him that he's inviting you to work with him. So that's nice. That feels good.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I saw you had a you went to Abbey Road Studios to record,
yeah,
which
yeah.
was cool.
Yeah. And on top of that, well, the second day when we were working there, Nick Mason of Pink Floyd just jumped in to say goodbye to Alan because he heard Alan was working there with a progressive rock band.
Yeah.
And he just came to say goodbye. You know, I've always been an admirer of Pink Floyd. So, and that was while I was singing. So I started to look for the hidden camera, you know.
That's funny. What drew you into the music industry from the beginning?
Well, you said that I didn't understand your question.
What got you interested in getting into the music industry?
I did not think about it. It just went all so natural. I just rolled into it, you know.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah, no explanation for that. I haven't thought it over. So I just rolled into the music industry, and here I still am stuck in the music industry.
Hey, it's something you love doing, so you know it's.
Yeah. Well, I have to admit, I hardly ever have the feeling that I'm working. You know, most of the time
right.
I'm having fun, and people are paying me for it. So I guess I should be lucky.
Well, some of the guys that, when you were younger, that influenced you, I know you said Pink Floyd, you liked the Buggles. Who else kind of influenced you?
I would say it was, yes, Genesis, but also on the pop side, new music, because there's also a track on the Black Rain album where I'm really using my new music influences.
Okay.
The track, We Choose to Be Happy. I'm always
yeah.
a fan of, From A to B album, the Anywhere album,
mm-hmm.
and Tony Mansfield, the singer and producer of new music, was very influential to me.
You've also got an album. Go ahead.
Also like the Love, and if we're talking about a pop thing,
right.
also like all the Tears for Fears, the Buggles, melodic pop, and pop music that you can almost classify as being a bit proggy also.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of cool to have pop and prog together like that, because, you know, you got a good chance of probably reaching more of a larger audience.
Yeah, that's true. But it's also a thin line, you know, because if you go too far to the pop music, the prog lovers will
right.
leave you behind. They'll stop listening to you. If you go too much to the prog,
that's
you
true.
Narrow your audience. So it's thin line. I guess we found out how to walk that thin line.
Good, because Phil Collins did not.
Yeah, but that's true when you go to foreign and start singing One More Night or whatever. We all get a big yawn.
Exactly. I was not happy when Phil Collins started going very pop with those R&B tunes and things like that. You know?
Yeah, neither did I. I stopped following because I've always been a Genesis fan.
Me too.
And I liked Collins' first two solo albums, you know, but starting from then on.
Yeah, after listening to A Trick of the Tail and then listening to the solo stuff he did, that pop stuff, that's, you know, that was sacrilegious.
Yeah. A Trick of the Tail has always been also a very influential album for me.
Yeah.
I know it by heart.
Yeah.
It still stands upright, you know, after all these years. I can play it now and then it still sounds fresh.
Well, you're let's see, Marty is in California, right?
Yeah.
He contributes, I guess, to the album or whatever from California. Is that true?
Partly.
Okay.
Because Marty also, from time to time, hops over to Belgium and then he stays with us.
Okay.
Because he's been living in Belgium for 22 years. It's only 2 years now that he's moved back to California.
Okay.
But we do a lot of productions together, Marty and I, and it has nothing to do with Vision Friday. It's just mostly rock productions. And then he comes over once a year for a couple of weeks and stays with us, and then we work on as many productions as we can, you know.
And then Nick, who, you know, he played with Stephen Wilson, but he also played with Steve Hackett on a lot of his solo albums as well.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
And he's big with the Chapman stick. I love the Chapman stick. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
as well.
he's really experienced the Chapman stick. But he doesn't always use it on each song, you know. And that's something I'm never interfere with, you know. I'm always sending a demo of the song I wrote, and I'll never ask him, you should play that kind of bass, or you should play the Chapman stick. I always let him choose himself which instrument he uses, and he's always right, so why tell him something more?
Yeah, exactly. Another guy I like that plays the Chapman stick is Tony Levin. He's another one.
Of course, yeah. Also, very accomplished player.
Exactly. Besides the new album, you also put out kind of a greatest hits almost, an initiation from 2010 to 2017, which was a great idea.
Yeah, well, it was an idea because also that idea came from the label chair, right? Because they always felt you guys haven't reached half of the audience you deserve, you know, and they experience also whenever people learn get to know one album of you, they always immediately buy all your
albums. Exactly.
So why not put together a kind of best of that's a bit low budget price, and just yet you call it a sample thing, and it works, you know, because I have the experience that people who carefully buy that in an initiation, the best of, afterwards they come back and buy the whole back catalog.
I agree with you, and you know. After I listened to Black Rain, I was looking for more music by you guys, and all I could do is go on YouTube and pick, you know, odds and ends. But now with this, you know, I can just buy this and, you know, hear all your great stuff.
Yeah. And we've also got our web store, you know, on visionfriday.be. So we've also got our web store, and we're constantly reprinting all the editions now. Within 2 weeks, we'll be reprinting Airborne. That's the
Airborne, right.
Release, and it's just the fourth reprint, so it's going okay.
Well, on the promo site for Interviewing the Legends, I've got all your albums on there because all the covers are really cool looking.
Yeah, but that's something we also continuously work with the same designer, you know, that's
right.
Scott Church. He's a fully designer, and I rate him as high as record sleeve designers come, like Hypnosis, you know, who did a lot of Pink Floyd things and Alan Parsons covers. He's really, really talented designer.
You know, I actually wrote for a online magazine, rock magazine, in Belgium for a long time.
Okay.
It was okay. It's called Keys and Chords in Belgium. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did. I did. They picked up my show, and all the interviews are on there. Just recently, I'm not with them anymore, but I was there for like, I don't know, about 5 years or so. And I even my new book, I dedicated the editor, the guy who started it. His name is Alphonse Maes, M-A-E-S, and he passed away from cancer, and I did a kind of a tribute to him in my new book. So
okay,
yeah, so
interesting. Yeah.
So I did work with a lot of Belgium music magazines and that kind of thing. Because they really like their prog in Belgium, I tell you that.
Okay. Great.
Frank, here's a question I ask everybody, and I get some very interesting answers.
Okay.
If you had a Field of Dreams wish, like the movie, to perform, collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
Jim Anderson as a singer,
right,
at the piano.
Okay.
That would be nice. That's the first thing that drops to mind. Maybe also with Stephen Wilson. Yeah.
Yep.
I've met him a couple of times backstage, but doing something to get him might be interesting. Those are the two names that pop up in my mind right now.
How about somebody that's not with us anymore? How about someone that's not with us anymore that is, you know, passed away in the past?
Yeah. Let me think. maybe David Bowie.
David Bowie. There you go. That's a good one.
Yeah, maybe. Well, it wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, I get a lot of Beatles, of course.
Yeah.
So, what were you like as a kid growing up?
As a kid growing up, I always dreamt of being a fighter pilot.
Oh, really?
Really.
That's interesting.
I come out of a very military family. I've got three uncles who are fighter pilots.
Really?
And one of them even became a general in the Belgian Air Force. So, when I was young, I really looked up to them, and I was convinced I was also going to be a fighter pilot. And then when I was 14, I went to a Yes show in Antwerp for the One concert.
Yep.
And after that concert, I decided, no, I'm going to be a musician, not a fighter pilot.
That's funny.
Yeah, but it's the truth, you know. It's really the truth. Up to my 14, I was convinced to be a fighter pilot. And now I decided, after seeing Yes now, it's much more fun being a
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I think a lot of those guys convinced me to, you know, stick with music as well. You know,
yeah.
Jethro Tull, yes, Pink Floyd, Genesis, all those guys. You must know a lot about planes, then, right?
I do know something about planes, yeah, and I do know something about arguments during Christmas parties with my uncle about the military. So, but let's not talk about that.
That's funny.
Okay. I was becoming a bit of a black sheep, you know.
A black sheep, yeah. Well, if you're not a little bit of a black sheep, you're not cool.
Okay.
That's what gives us our coolness, you know.
Yeah, true.
Exactly. So what's next for the band? I mean, this is a very successful album. Are you guys going to tour when this is all over?
Well, I have to admit that we'd all love to tour, but now with this whole pandemic going around, nothing's sure anymore.
Right.
We've talked about it, and there's also one practical thing. We can't go touring for let's say 5 or 10 concerts, so it has to be a big tour, and that has only to do with the financial aspect, you know.
Exactly.
We've done some concerts here in Belgium and always lost money, even when the venues were sold out. So you have to really go for 30 gigs at least, one after another, and then it becomes lucrative. Oh, yeah, we don't have to be lucrative, but we don't want to lose money. You know, that's not.
Now, are you...
Go ahead. And as for the moment, because you were asking what are further plans, I'm working with Nick Bex on some fun projects, and right now also, we'll see what comes out of that.
Now, being the general manager, if you guys went on tour, are you booking the shows, or is somebody else's?
No, somebody else has to do that. That's also a bit of a problem. I'm not experienced in that, but I don't know anything about today's concert shows and LA concert tours and everything. We have to get a real touring manager, you know.
Right.
It's not that easy. We really can't do it ourselves. I can't do that.
You know how many artists have their wives now as manager?
yeah, me too, but she's sleeping for the moment.
That's funny. But it's amazing how they teamed up together. You know, like Steve Hackett and Joe Hackett. You know, they're together, you know?
I've met them also, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Steve's such a good guy. I really like him.
He's friendly. I met him once in Brussels also after a gig. So.
And it made me upset when Genesis announced they were going to get together without him. You know, I mean, if you're going to do it, you got to do it right, you know? You get him and get Peter Gabriel and get the whole group together, you know? That's
I agree.
Yeah.
I guess certainly with Peter Gabriel, maybe there's also talks about money and everything. And
time, I know.
And not interested. Well, we don't know, but yeah. I agree that you should, the five of them should get together and they go touring again. Yeah.
I mean, there's so much red tape and fighting amongst bands and who has control over the name and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah. It's true. I just read an article that there's also an audio again about between Dave Gilmour and Roger.
I know, Waters, I saw
about,
that.
About using the website and whatever in the name. And I think, oh my God, get together and play some
music.
Oh
my goodness.
It's not that simple.
Yeah. I think Roger was the instigator there.
Yeah, probably.
I got a feeling.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right.
I'm friends with David Gilmour's ex-wife.
Okay.
Yeah. She's cool. She gave me all the scoop about Roger, and you know, I mean, she won't say anything bad or anything, but you know, he had a way about him.
Yeah, okay, that's clear enough.
That's clear enough, right? Well, one of Belgium's most famous musicians is probably Django Reinhardt.
Django Reinhardt, yeah, and also don't forget to steal him. You know him, he's a famous harmonica player.
That's right.
He played with big stars and everything. I also worked with him, so.
Huh.
I think, yeah, to steal him, and Django Reinhardt. Well, that's at least two names.
That's at least two.
we're a small country, you know.
Yeah.
But we're proud.
And of course, Frank Bogart.
let's stay humble a bit.
So are you happy with the way things are going right now? I mean, definitely with the album. What do you want? What do you need to accomplish with the band?
I'm pretty happy now, because you know, we've been working on this album Black Rain for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So the biggest reward is that you make people happy, mm-hmm. and of course the record company is also happy because they see it selling faster than the previous albums. The thing that makes me the most happy is getting some emails from guys who bought the album and said thank you for the music.
Yeah.
That's the most rewarding part for me.
Exactly. Yeah, me too. When somebody says that was a great interview, or you know, you did a good job, that's all you need. You know? That's all you need to keep you going anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the thing you need to get going. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna promote the hell out of this album because I love it, you know,
thank you.
Anytime I hear a band that, you know, I'm not, because I do a lot of classic rock legends interviews, you know, I've done everybody from ELP to Genesis to, you know, all these guys, and when I hear new music that's good, I get really excited about it, because you know you know how the industry is today. I mean, radio and this, it's not like nothing like what it used to be. And
No. I've seen it changing also.
Oh
now.
Yeah.
Music has become a pretty disposable product, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's not enough bands out there anymore. Groups on, you know, if you listen to the radio, you don't hear the groups, and you don't hear the you know, prodigious musicians, the proficient artists, and the guitar players, yeah. The heroes.
Yeah,
you know,
it's true. Yeah, I agree. And also one thing that bothers me a lot. It all sounds the same what you hear on the radio.
It does.
I'm talking about Belgian radio now, but probably it'll be worldwide like that. It all has to be the same format. So back in the days, well, like in 1970s, the radios were more adventurous. You know, you could play an 8-minute Queen track and then followed by a 20-minute Pink Floyd track. And yeah, things were more diverse. Now, I experience when I produce bands also, and they send their music to the radio station, the most often answer they get, yeah, but it doesn't fit in our format. And that word alone, that gives me the creep, the word format.
I hate that. I hate that. You know, there was a station in Florida, and you know Ronnie Montrose from Montrose? Okay, he started with Edgar Winter, but he was in a band called Gamma, and then Ronnie Montrose, big, you know, famous guitar player here. I went to a rock station. I said, "Look, I'm interviewing Ronnie, and I'm going to be at a show in Florida, and this and that. Would you like to have an interview? I was going to set up some interviews with other stations." Oh, he's not in our format.
Yeah,
well, I was so mad.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Give me a break.
Yeah, it's true.
It got so corporate now. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I think that's the right word. Maybe I was looking for that word. Music has become corporate.
Very corporate. Well,
music was never meant to be that.
No, it's not. No, and the people running these stations, they know nothing about music. They have no. They haven't got a clue. These aren't music lovers, you know.
Yeah.
But well, I'm glad there's stations like Morrow.com. You know, because
and also the UK got some very specialized stations also because you know Gary Foster's show in Wolverhampton. I'm on there this evening also.
Oh, good.
There's quite some specialized stations also, and yeah, pretty cool. I'm still happy stations like yours and like Gary Foster still exist, you know.
You just got to hunt for them, you know? You really got to hunt for them. They're not going to be in your car radio.
No, it's true.
Frank, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today, man.
Okay.
I hope you guys tour America. You know, I know it's expensive.
Well, talking to you, I'm having a bit drops in the line now, but I hope I'm still pretty understandable.
Yeah, I'm here. I hope you guys can tour America one day. I know it's expensive, but, you know, that'd be great because you're a great band.
Okay, thanks for that. And, well, we would like to do it. If we can work it out, we'll do it.
Well, if I can help in any way, let me know, all right?
Okay, Ray.
All right, man.
Have a great day.
You too, Frank. Stay healthy. Stay healthy.
You. Bye.
All right, bye-bye now.
Bye.
By the latest release by Fish on Friday, entitled Black Rain, at Amazon.com. I gave it 5 stars. It's an incredible album. You will love it. For more information about Frank Van Bogart and Fish on Friday, visit www.frankvanbogart.com. That's his official website. Also, www.fishonfriday.be. That's Fish on Friday's official website. Also on Facebook, www.facebook.com/fishonfriday. Also, Fish on Friday on Facebook. Very special thanks to Frank Van Bogart for arranging this interview. And, of course, the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsome of BBS Radio for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, for the very latest interviews. It's real news, people. And, of course, my new book is out, entitled The Rockstar Chronicles, Series 1. It chronicles truths, confessions, and wisdom from the music legends that set us free. Order yours today on hardcover or ebook at bookbaby.com or amazon.com. It features over 45 intimate conversations with some of the greatest rock legends the world will ever know. Have a great week, everybody. Stay safe. but also have some fun out there. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio, Station 1.